Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech,
get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker.
We kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the cripple, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all.
One night, a drawing set me on fire. That wicked fantasy was to see a child burned to death. And after that, I was just left in a garbage can to die.
Try taking some of these dangerous chemicals out of the food and environment and see if there's a turnaround. At least do something instead of ignoring it and increasing the danger to us.
I was a school teacher in my parish school, and I caught a priest molesting a child. They were going to allow this man to remain near the children, and sadly, he's still in a parish today.
There is absolutely no sexual overtone within this procedure, according to the traditional rabbis that perform it. Absolutely.
Sexual or not, you still had a baby's penis in your mouth. That's just...
Okay, have a pleasant day.
Welcome to the Church of Reality.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? This is Church Reality, episode 187. I'm going to bring on co-host Pittsburgh Pat. What's up, Pittsburgh?
Yo, what's up, man?
Elaine's not going to make it tonight. She's got some things to do, so our thoughts are definitely with her. But our thoughts are also with the people in Houston. I'm telling you, they said it's like on the news, they said Trump said that it's a 500-year flood. This is something that we've never seen, nothing of this magnitude. I mean, they said all the major freeways in Houston are shut down. People are stuck in their houses. It's from that Hurricane Harvey bullshit.
Did you see the picture that TJ Redd posted? He posted it on Instagram like 9 hours ago, but he shared it to Facebook, and Waco tagged you, Mac, and Skinny in it. It's a...
Yeah.
The picture, like the main road, you know what I mean, with the signs up, the, you know what I mean, telling you which direction to go and shit, and that thing's almost fucking
all the way up to the top of that. But,
man, and there's still like 3 more days at least of rain, man. That's insane.
Yeah, I looked at right before we went live. I looked at the map, the radar. It's still hovering over the same spot. It's just rotating. Not going nowhere, and that's the horrible thing, because like they don't need any more water, and they said that the communities downstream, when all this water drains, it's going to flood them as it goes downstream. So it's gonna keep just causing, you know, all kinds of havoc.
When I came home,
we know, like Lincoln, man, he's going through it.
Yeah, man, FEMA had a statement, and it said that they'll be there for years, like, cleaning this up and fixing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a long time before things are back to somewhat normal there. It's a damn shame.
Yeah, they were talking years. Here's some of what we know right now. Like I said, all the major... freeways in Houston are completely underwater. If you get on the internet, I mean, there's just hundreds and hundreds of images of people walking through water. Kind of reminds you of Hurricane Katrina. But, I mean, this is the fourth largest city in the United States. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would be like if downtown Chicago got completely flooded or... you know, downtown Manhattan. You know, you can never imagine a city that big underwater like this. And it's not just there. It's a huge, like I said, Waco, he's from up there by Yoakum, Texas. It is a huge impact that it's having. You know what I'm saying? It started off in Corpus Christi, I think, is when it first touched down. And now, like you said, it's just going to just drag across the state for the next couple of days. Waco said he's looking at 2 more days of it. You know what I'm saying? It's horrible, man. You know.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier.
Yeah, he was supposed to call, man. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hit him up earlier, man.
Trying to get people on.
I hit him up just to check on him, make sure he was all right and shit. See if he needed anything, man. You know what I mean? But he said, you know, financially he's good and shit. He's actually doing something real good for someone else. But that's his business, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Like I work for good people, man, and you know, the people I work for, they've continuously for like almost a full year now. Every month they donate the Flint for the water thing. And today I was talking to them, and they're gonna do something for people in Texas too, man. And I urge everybody to do that. It don't matter if you only got $5, like anything.
Yeah,
will help. You know what I mean?
They actually, you know, if you want to donate to the Red Cross, just text Harvey to 90999, or just dial 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's the main thing that they're you know, showing right now. But I'm sure there's got to be some triage.
I'm sure, like United Way,
where people could go. Yeah, United Way, maybe UNICEF. I don't know. Hopefully, you know, funds get there. From what I hear, funds are coming. I mean, the governor claims that FEMA and all these people are actually working. We know in Katrina that wasn't the case. We know in Hurricane Sandy that wasn't the case. But the governor of Texas says it is, so let's hope it's true. But we need to find out from the people. We need to talk to people about this and see what the hell's going on. If you're listening, Waco, hit the line 714-409-0548. I also sent out an invite for the homie, you know, Evil S of the Sleepwalkers. We just had on the Murder Man's Music Show the other day because they're down there too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, definitely. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. You got a lot of people that's suffering right now. Like I said, this is a populated area of about 5 or 6 million people. You know, this is not a small type of incident that's going on. And like we were talking about the other night with Murder Man and Evil S, this thing just like sprouted up out of nowhere, and they said it would touch landfall maybe category 1, and by the time it got to landfall, as we know, it was a category 4, which I don't know, man. They ramped this thing up some kind of way or something. I don't know. All I know is it's not good for the people of Texas, and you know, parts of Louisiana. You know,
yeah,
it's gonna be shooting up throughout the whole country, but it's gonna be weakening. But it's gonna linger right there where people are already drowning. I saw an image, Pat, that was so fucking disturbing. It was a picture of the inside of a nursing home, and all the people were like, they were sitting in the day room on their couches. Yeah, they were sitting in wheelchairs, up the water up to their shoulders. And, oh, man, and these are people in their 80s and 90s and shit. You know, it was real hard to stomach that and see that, man, because we've never seen nothing like this before to this level. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, Katrina, I mean, the loss of life in Katrina was devastating.
I lost a family member. I lost a family member in Katrina.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, man. What happened?
They drowned, man.
Damn.
Yeah, they drowned. I actually called them. This morning? I think it was this morning. I don't know, man. My life's just one long day to me, bro. It's not bad. But, yeah, I called my little cousin. They've lived in New Orleans for a long time, since I was like 12 years old. But now they live like closer to Baton Rouge. But I mean, they got a lot of rain there right now. They're still like, they said the last thing that they heard was they're still not off the hook. You know what I mean? Like, it could still get pretty bad there. But, I mean, they still feel the effects of that. I mean, that's the thing about these places, man. Like, about these storms, man. There's, like, it's a tragedy for many reasons. Like, yeah, you can lose everything you've got. You can lose people and all that. But, like, you could lose the house that you grew up in. Like, I live in a better house right now than the house that I grew up in, but I still love the house I grew up in. And it'll always, like, mean something to me. And, like, you got people that, like, in Texas right now, man, they might have been living in them houses for 50 years. You know what I mean? And no matter what, man, you could build them a mansion, and that's still, like, a part of their life that's gone. Like, you know what I mean? It's tragic, man. Like, we was talking last night with Mac J. I was talking about how when I was a kid, a tornado dropped a tree on my house. And for a while, like, years after that, I mean, I was a little kid, but years after that, man, every time it would, you know, get cloudy or rain a little bit, like, I'd get scared. You know what I mean? And, like, my family is shocked. That lives in Louisiana, they still get like that since Katrina. They still get like that. Now, of course, like, they went through a lot more than we went through. They, you know, they lost a family member, they lost their house, and had to relocate. You know, as a matter of fact, they actually moved to Texas for a little while. And then they came back to Louisiana, and out of the, like, on the street they lived on, there was, like, on their side of the block, I think there was, like, I want to say, like, 14 houses or something. There was only two left. And they were, like, they could salvage something from them and rebuild them and stuff. All the other ones were just gone. So, like, that was an entire street that's not how it used to be. You know what I mean?
The footage I'm seeing and the pictures I'm seeing from friends on Facebook and in the news, it's just unbelievable. It says right here on ABC, it says unprecedented flooding beyond anything experienced in the Houston area. And we all know Houston has had some flooding before, but this, I mean, come on, all the freeways, like all the major ways to get in the city and out of the city are underwater. You know, you gotta, I mean, that means all these people are trapped in their houses. I talked to Waco earlier, and he was telling me that where he's hunkered down, it's pretty much on top of him, and they got to just remain there, you know. It's just fucking...
I've seen a bunch of ignorant-ass comments on Facebook. You're like, oh, dumb motherfuckers to the left, they shouldn't be there. Like, man, some people can't afford to get up and leave, man. You know what I mean? Like, right now, if there was a hurricane coming to my area right now, I'd have to stay here. I don't got no way to get the fuck out of here. I don't got money to get out of here and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's a struggle.
Those are the same people that think everybody that is getting some type of assistance is a lazy bum or a leech. Or those are the same people,
like,
you know. Pledge allegiance to America motherfuckers. Basically, the ones that have Donald Trump's balls in their throats.
Mm-hmm.
Those people make me
sick.
Yeah,
like the people that,
degrade or make fun of people during a situation like this. I mean, like you said, a lifetime of
like
memories.
I see the most foul. Like, the internet's just foul altogether, like... You know,
it,
like,
is, man.
I've said it a couple times. If it wasn't for what we do, Pez, I would have gave up on the fucking internet. Like, I see people on that.
You don't really see much of a presence of me on there at all, because unless I'm doing promoting or chopping it up with you and a few other people, other than that, I'm sick of it. Because you
yeah,
really,
like, I like chopping
it
up on
Facebook
and shit. But, like, eventually, like, you'll be having a good conversation with somebody about hip-hop or something, and then, like, you always get that one guy that, like, thinks he knows more than you and just, like, totally fucks up the whole post.
Man, that thorn in your
like,
side.
Saying, oh, no, my favorite rapper's the best. And then they say pointless shit, like, I only listen to good music. Well, doesn't everybody think that? Like, why would you want to listen to bad music?
Or they've had it for a long time, but I'm making use of it now. For your posts, you can put certain posts and just have it to where certain individuals can't see it. And some of these people, I'll do that because I'm sick of them. They never share anything we do. They know we support the underground and support other artists. They only pop up on our timeline to talk shit or to argue. Like you said, if you say it's Tuesday, you're going to be like, no, it's not. It's Thursday. I mean, you know, these guys are just...
Like, dude, you can ask Matt J about this, man. Like, I posted something on Instagram the one day, and this SoundCloud rapper, like, comments on it. And I was like, do you guys really support the underground like you claim you do? And I commented back, and I was like, man, my co-host and the founder of our show worked with Murder Dog since the 90s. And... works for several other magazines. Our show's been alive 5 years, and we've had everybody from Chuck D and DMC to, I can't remember like the group I used as an example, but it was like a group that is underground as hell, like it doesn't have a lot of followers, you know what I mean? And I was like, I don't have to tell you if we support the underground, like, check our fucking website. It speaks for its fucking self. You know what I mean? But it's always these people that feel entitled. Like, and then if you call them out on it, they're like, no, you're a hater, and I'm not cocky, I'm confident. Like, no, you're an asshole. Like, I'm confident.
Exactly.
Like, we got interviews.
Ask them what they've done for the underground. What have you done for the underground that's significant to anything?
Like, look, boy, like, I'm not cocky, I'm confident. Like, no, you're an asshole. Like, I'm confident that this Wednesday we're going to have a good interview with DJ Paul. You know what I mean? Like, I'm confident in that. I'm confident that we're going to do a good interview with Paul because we're good at what we do. Paul's a good guest, and we know a lot about him, so we can ask. You know, like, we're fans of DJ Paul, so really... We're just fans asking them questions, for real. You know what I mean? But I don't get on the internet like, our show's the fucking best. Who else is getting DJ Paul right now? Like, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't talk shit like that. But, like, you get these people that, like, oh, I'm the best rapper in the world. You should fuck with me. It's like, no, I shouldn't fuck with you and your 13 followers, motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, just because you have 3 songs on a SoundCloud, all of a sudden I got to bow down to you? Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
People, like, you said a person.
It's a two-way street.
They feel entitled. You know, and it shouldn't be that way. Yeah, like, this particular guy who I'm talking about that keeps commenting on our posts, you know what I'm talking about. His album's been reviewed on our website, which... I don't think he's ever shared once. He's been interviewed by us. He's been featured on some of our music.
He posted a review I wrote a while ago. He posted that recently on Instagram. That's about it, man.
Yeah.
He never shared our page, never shares our fucking promos, even when it's people with his crew. He don't even share that.
With Jump. Yeah, he's quick to jump in with an opinion or quick to ask for a favor or a connection or a hookup. People, you know, punks like that, I run into them every so often. I've been dealing with them, like you said, since the 90s. And you deal with them a lot, too. They're everywhere. They're fucking everywhere. I'm sick of them. And they think that you haven't been around the block, that you don't know... you know, nothing about the game, and they're just going to come in and, like you said, overpower you or try to overpower you with their ideology of thinking.
Yeah.
And
you get cool. There's just good ones. You know what I mean? Like, we just had the homie Bishop on the other day, and he's good people, man. Like, he's always sharing our shit. And, you know, I got, like, one of the reasons why I had him on was because he always shares my shit on Instagram and everything. He's never once asked me to come on the show. So I'm like, man, this dude, you know, he's making a little noise down there, and he reps China Man and shit. Like, let's bring him on. But then, like, I got a homie from Detroit, and he does his thing with rap, and, you know, he opens up a lot of shows for a couple bigger acts and stuff. But I was real with him. Like, he's like, yo, man, like, when I first started co-hosting with you guys, he's like, man, I'd love to get on your show. And I was like, look, man, don't take it the wrong way or nothing, man, but, like, you gotta do a couple things, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not established yet, man. Like, you don't even have a project out yet. Like, yeah, you do some shows and stuff, but that's about it, man. Like, so, you know, do your thing, man. Like, you're in a good situation. Like, you're a decent rapper, and you're around decent rappers, so you might gain a nice little following and stuff, and I can't just have you on the show because you're my friend. What are we going to talk about? You don't have an album. You're not on tour. You don't have no songs out. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to say on the show, man? Like, hey, this is so-and-so. He's my friend. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck am I going to talk about for an hour with? You just don't have a resume. And he was like, yeah, man, you're right. Like, I appreciate that, man. Like, you know what I mean? And he's a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he understood. And that's what I liked about him. Like, he wasn't like, oh, that's fucked up, man. Fuck you. Like, he was like, yeah, you're right, man. Like, I gotta get my career actually going before I can start doing interviews and shit, because he just started, man. Like, he has a couple songs out, and they're all right songs, and he did a show with Swifty from D12, and he's done shows with Dice and shit, but that's about it, man. He only has a handful of songs and shit, and he understood that when I told him that. Like, hey, man, like, your career, quote-unquote career, just started. Like, you don't have nothing to really talk about, man, but, like, if you drop, like, a nice project and it's dope, and we can see that you're dedicated to this shit, then, yeah, maybe we'll bring you on, man. You know what I mean? But until then, man, like, you gotta work on, you can't ask people to give you stuff, man. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, like, me being a co-host, man, I put in a lot of work for this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I never wanted to be a co-host.
Yeah, and I never asked for it. You know what I mean? I never asked for Hip Hop Roundtable. I never asked to be a co-host of this show or the Murder Master Music show. I just really cared about this shit. And I took it serious, and I put in a lot of work for it. You know what I mean? I spent a lot of, like, people don't understand, like, for all the shows that we get, there's 50 that we tried and didn't get. You know what I mean? So, like, you can look at our archives and be like, wow, man, they killed it. For 4 months, they had shows every night, even a couple weeks for double episodes and all that. Like, man, those guys worked hard on that shit. But they don't even know, like, yeah, we might have did, I don't even know how many consecutive days we did a show. Like, just say it was 50. You don't understand that, like, the same effort that we put in to make those shows happen, we put the same effort in to 300 other shows that never happened. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I could speak for you, Fred, but there's times that, like, I'll spend 20 minutes just trying to find a guest that I thought of that would be dope on the show, and I'm trying to find them and find the right information for them and all that. Like, people don't get that part of it. Like, the work that you put into the failures, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of work. Like, the people that we didn't get on the show. The people don't account for that. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I've hit up
pretty
much every, like, known rapper who we've tried to hit them up. You know what I mean? Either them or somebody close affiliated with them.
You know, like, we tried to get pretty much everybody.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I sit here like, man, I pretty much hit up everybody. You know what I mean? But then there's always a bunch more that, you know, I didn't even think about, like, you know what I mean? But that's what I just wanted to, I want to get that point across, man, is, like, if you work hard and you care about what you're doing, like, we'll see you. You know what I mean? Like, an example is back when I had to do Bug Styles on. You know what? Better example. Future Allah. Better example is him. I don't know that guy. You know what I mean? We had Ollie Vegas on and we had Jay Hood on. And when Jay Hood was on, they had just dropped the video for their song Moods. It's Jay Hood, Ollie Vegas, and this dude Future Allah. I heard it and I'm like, man, I really like that dude's verse. So I looked dude up and man, he's a hard worker. He got a bunch of shit out there. He got a couple albums down, mixtapes, always doing shows. He got a nice little buzz going on where he's at. He's trying to get shows. Like, I looked at one of his pages, either Facebook or Twitter, and but the thing was filled with him trying to get on a show in New Jersey, get on a show in Philadelphia, and like, he's just trying to work, and it's paying off for him. He's doing other interviews and all that, and I respected that. I'm like, man, like, this is a dude that is probably going to make it. Like, he might not be a platinum rapper or nothing like that, but he's probably going to have a nice, solid career where, you know, he'll make enough money off of it to live good. You know what I mean? And I never knew him. I saw what he was doing. I reached out to him and brought him on because it was like a respect. You know what I mean? And he was very grateful for it. You know what I mean? And that's what people got to understand. Like, you can't just be my Facebook friend and have two songs on a SoundCloud and expect me to just spend an hour of our time interviewing you about what? Like, your favorite rappers? You don't have a career yet. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, work hard and it'll pay off for you, man. You know what I mean?
Like,
I try to tell everybody, man, just stay focused and work hard. Like, don't worry about coming on our show. Like, that should be the last fucking thing on your mind. You should be worrying about what you're doing. And if you work hard, we'll come to you. We'll want to interview you. If you're good and you work hard and you care about it, we'll notice you and we'll come to you. You don't have to fucking, you shouldn't even be thinking about our show. You should be thinking about how to make your next song better than the last one you put out. You know what I mean? But no, everybody just wants to, you know, like, I got two people hit my inbox yesterday. They wanted us to put them on the DJ Paul show on Wednesday. I was like, dude, nobody's getting on that show. It's just a DJ Paul episode. But, like, why? Like, what have you ever done for me to just give you that? Like, let you be on, like, give you free promo on the DJ Paul show.
I used to sell slots for shit to shows like that. Like, I used to actually sell slots, like, if I had, like, DJ Paul or something. I think I sold a slot for a DJ Paul show, too, where they would get the back end of the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they had to break bread. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and everybody started bitching. Yeah, because, like you said, who the fuck are they? And what have they done for us? You know, if you want to be on the back end of a show with somebody like that, you got to pay. If you want your own show, send us music and we'll consider it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I get that a lot too. Like, hey, man, let me be on the back end of this show. And, it's like, come on, man. You know, hit the donation page. We're actually right now donate to Houston, man, to be honest with you. You know, even though we could use it, but there's no way we could use it like the people in Houston could use it. You know, again, it, you know, text the Red Frost 90999, you know what I'm saying, and they'll donate automatic $10. You know, yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible to see something like that. And
yeah, man,
we weren't even thinking about a hurricane a few days ago.
If you could spend $100 to watch two midgets fight, then you can give $10 to people that need it in Texas right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, spend all that money,
$200
all the
their dumbass shoes.
You'll buy a shitty album from a fucking rapper that hasn't put out a good album in 20 years.
Socks. They need all kinds of supplies and food, all kinds of fresh water.
I always try to give something, man, like even if it's something small, man, like, you know what I mean? Like, but a couple of times when my boss and the people I work for, when they were sending something to Flint, man, I'd be like, yo, man, just kick in $10 for me, I'll work it off. You know what I mean? Just something small like that, because I don't really got much to give, you know what I'm saying? But, just do stuff like that, man. Like, you don't have to think of it like, oh, man, I can only spend $10, man, that ain't going to be shit. Well, that $10, my $10, this got $10, and that got $10, that's $40-$50 right there. That's something. That's a case of water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's some food. Like, no matter what you can give something, man. Even if it's $1, fuck it, $1. That's a bottle of water.
People would
that's
concerned with, you know, I need to pay for this cell phone. I need to get this new upgrade or this or that. But like you said, see two midgets fight. I logged on to Facebook this morning. I was just sickened. All I saw was that shit. I mean,
dumb, man. It's like there is so much of like the last first white stuff. I'm like, look, like I can't believe you guys took that bait.
Why are they making a racist out of a box match, man?
I know, and I told her, but I'm like, man, I just can't believe. Like, you guys are the same people that are always talking about how this is a distraction, this is a distraction, and the media is doing this, and trying to feed you this bullshit, and then you're sitting here talking about this as black versus white. Like, you took the fucking bait, fucking idiots. You know what I mean? Like, those guys right now are probably chilling together, counting their fucking money. You know what I mean? Like, I knew, I can't remember who I said, that might have been Scratch. We were talking on the phone, and I told him, I was like, dude, watch. It was the day that fight became official. I said, dude, I promise you, they're going to throw race in this shit. I guarantee you that Conor McGregor dude is going to say some racist shit. He's like, you think? I was like, dude, he'll either let a slur slip out, or he'll say something that's racial, that is controversial. And what did he do? He called Floyd a monkey and then said, dance for me, boy. And that was enough. You know what I mean? That was enough to trigger all that shit. And those guys planned that shit. They planned it. You know what I mean? And people took that fucking bait, man. You know what I mean? They took it. And, those boxers ain't stupid. Floyd Mayweather's not dumb. He knows how to make money.
The guy is, and someone told me today, too, that Floyd is the greatest boxer ever. He's the richest boxer ever. Just because he's undefeated in 50, you gotta understand something. Sugar Ray Robinson went his first 91 fights. He only lost one fight in 91 fights. So, I mean, you have to add on numbers. And of course, he went on to fight about 160 fights or something like that, with like 128 KOs, 19 losses. How many losses would Floyd have after 150 fights? You know, I mean, so many variables.
Floyd did something special. Like, he figured out a way to he's a defensive fighter, and he figured out a way for, you know, to stay unbeaten, and he's very good at what he does. He's very good at it. But, I mean, come on, man.
Doing that too.
Somebody was telling me last night. One of them dudes last night was telling me that McGregor proved that he's the best fighter in the world. That's what they said. That McGregor, because he lasted 15 rounds. And, I said, man, so I looked up the stats of the fight last night, and dude landed 25% of his punches. Like, he swung over 400 times and hit, you know, 100. Like, and that's counting those, like, he, like, everybody's making fun of him because he did, like, a hammer punch a couple of times, and that's counting those. Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, those are some of the punches he landed, but they didn't do anything.
Yeah,
like,
he won the first three rounds, but then after that, it was an onslaught. I mean,
he won the first couple rounds. Like, dude, if you watch Floyd Mayweather, he usually loses the first couple of rounds because he's a defensive guy.
I second.
He likes to fill you out.
To beat you. Like,
he'll take a couple hits, and he's not really going to swing too much in the first couple rounds because he's studying what you're doing and your patterns.
But
I'm
definitely not a Floyd fan or a McGregor fan. I thought that was a farce. It was an easy payday for both of those guys. Winner, loser, they both won. Meanwhile, let's see how much money they donate to the city of Houston and these other areas. Let's see what they do for them. I doubt they're going to do much.
I told somebody today, man, like, that they were on that, it was black versus white thing. I said, man, just 6 months ago, everybody hated Floyd because he was praising Trump, and he was saying all lives matter. And he did Black Lives Matter, and he went to Trump's inauguration. But then now, he's cool. Let's see how he made a bunch of money last night. That motherfucker better be in Texas helping black people. Connor better be in Texas helping white people. You guys want to make it about race? Let's see them dudes help these guys out. You know what I mean? That shit wasn't about race. Like, you guys took the fucking bait. Like, all you people that claim that you know, like, that you're woke and, you know, you're righteous and shit and you're aware of all the distractions, you fell for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You took the fucking bait, man. Like, those guys knew, like, it's a bad time in our country right now with all this racial tension. So what do? Let's get two guys that run their mouths like
all
crazy. That's pretty much what these guys are known for. Is their loud mouths. Like, that's why Conor McGregor is so popular. Like, yeah, he's good at UFC, I guess, but part of his appeal and why he gets paid so much is because he talks shit. Like, that's his thing. So, hey, let's talk. Let's take the loud mouth white guy versus the loud mouth black guy, make it a race thing, and sell it. And it fucking works. And everybody fucking sells it. You know what I mean? Like, I hate Conor McGregor. I can't stand that motherfucker. You know what I mean? And I'm a white Irish dude. That shit was not representing me.
But obviously, there's the racial shit that they use. They automatically...
Yeah. I didn't even watch the fight.
Because
I didn't even watch the fight. But when I heard McGregor I'm a boxing enthusiast.
I had to go back later and watch it. I had to. I did. I watched it. I didn't watch it when it was going down. I watched it a little bit later. And I saw, like you said, first three rounds, I saw McGregor. You know, he looked poised. He looked like he was doing his thing. But I also knew that Floyd was just waiting and just learning what this guy was doing to him. And then it was an onslaught, and it was a huge waste of money. So I feel sorry for all those people that paid money for it. Thank you for live streaming on Facebook and having videos up there. Most of them would get taken down. Now, this is how I seen it. There's actually a Spanish guy. He had a video up. So everything was in Spanish. I didn't care. But everybody else, their videos were taken down.
Speaking of Mac J, if you're listening, still never told me the five songs yet, bro. I'm interviewing Mac J tomorrow night. Me and you, Fred.
We'll pick them. We'll pick Mac J's favorite songs.
I've been telling them all week.
We got Boy George
all week.
On here. I'm sure he'll love that.
Yeah, man, I was thinking, I know he's a big fan of Spice One, and, you know, he has that Memphis background, you know, so I figured maybe we could play some Gangsta Pat, Spice One,
hey,
Jones, and
play this, Pat, listen to this.
Well, shit, we had another caller, 314, call back in, St. Louis, but yeah, that shit was fucking crazy. I don't even know how to top that. I don't know who the fuck we can get for show number three. But here we go, 314.
And it's Jay, Doc.
Hey, what's up? Who
is it? It's Jay, man. Justin Adams, Doc.
Justin Adams. What's up, my bro? How you doing?
What, man, what's good with it, man? Y'all rocking it tonight, man. That UGS shit, dog. I'm loving it, B.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. Justin, thank you for supporting our shit.
That was Matt calling into the show about this first time he called in the show, episode 2, I think it was.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yo, we should actually kick off my show tomorrow with that. Right after the Sky intro, play that. Matt J's
play
very first time calling in.
He's been going
you
on
know what I mean?
Song or something. If you want. Yeah, whatever.
We don't play that. I figured he'd probably want to play his homies from Let's Go. They got the record out and shit. I figured he might want to play that or something. But I don't know where to find it, like on MP3 and shit. And plus, like,
I think I got one of them on there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
we had them on long ago.
For everybody listening, I'm actually moving this coming weekend, and it might take me about 2 or 3 days to get internet back. So if I'm not present online for a couple days, that's why, but I won't be gone long. Just in case, because I'll have the topics for Hip Hop Roundtable, and I'll have the music for it, like, way before Friday. You know what I mean? In case I'm not around, but if you don't
move,
hear from me,
and that's a big deal right there. It's always a big deal to make that
yeah,
move.
On Friday, we end up having a Murder Master Music show on Friday. There's a chance I'll have to miss it because my electricity, like the way we had to do it, like around here, it's fucked up. Like if you're moving, they'll turn your electricity off at the end of the business day, but they won't kick it on at your new place till the following day. So with a holiday coming up on next Monday, they're going to turn our electricity off on Friday and then Saturday morning at the new house. So I'll have like 24 hours with no power. You know what I mean? But I'm staying at a homie's house. So if we have a show, I can probably still make it. You know what I mean? But there's a chance I might not be able to. But we'll cross those bridges.
Completely understandable.
Okay. You know, I'm hoping
man.
We're going to have a show. I have a couple
people that I got in touch with, and I'm just waiting for a response. So I'm hoping that I can at least lock in one of them, because all of them are kind of dope, yes. I think people really like them, you know?
On the show, too. Because you know, Tommy Sodomore guy talking some shit out the side of his mouth, and I figured let's have Poppy on and go in on that guy. That guy's actually making fun of Poppy getting molested by Bambada. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that dude's a fucking clown anyway, though, man. Like, that dude fucking, he talks shit about black people all the time. Like, he's a black dude, and he, like, just puts black people down all the time, man. Like, it's fucking sad. Like, for real. Like, I feel bad for dude. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, you know,
yeah,
like, no matter what
mental,
explains it.
Condition.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for everybody. Like, I love Spanish people. I love black people. I love Muslim people. I love all of them, man. Like, I had a lot of homies from different places, different cultures. And
if you're all for it. Yeah, I mean, people are people.
You know, like,
I stay in my lane with it.
Like, I don't ever want people to think that I'm insensitive to the matters or anything like that. You know what I mean? But, I studied a lot of, like, black revolutionary people. You know what I mean? Like, Marcus Garvey, you know, Huey Newton, all those people, man. Like, I studied a lot of that shit.
Great Muhammad Ali, man. It's one of
Muhammad Ali is one of my favorite people ever.
Of all time.
Favorite people ever in life, man. Like, me and my mom cried when Muhammad Ali died. Like, he meant a lot to my mom, you know.
Ken Norton died about a year and a half ago, and I got one of my favorite pieces. I got his autographed pic of him breaking Muhammad Ali's jaw in their first fight. And now I look at that picture, and I think both of those guys are dead now. You know, both of them.
I got my nephew, man. I try to teach my nephew shit that they don't teach him in school. You know what I mean? Like, I've taught him about Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the Olympics, holding up the black gloves. You know what I mean? I taught him about Jackie Robinson and Roberto Clemente and, you know, just good people that fought.
Jack Johnson.
You know what I mean? And,
if you
want
to see a good documentary, not to cut you off, Pat, I just want to tell you real quick. If you want to see a good documentary, please, they might have it on Netflix. It's called Jack Johnson, Unforgivable Black. And it's about a 2-3 hour movie, man. I'm telling you, watch that movie. That guy went through hell. I mean, he married a white woman, and he took her into another state, and they arrested him for taking her over state lines, even though he was married to her. You know, this is the, remember McCain pardoned him about 5-6 years ago? Well, he pardoned a man that died in 1946. You know, they should have pardoned him when he was 5. But yeah, his only crime was taking his wife across state lines. And before that happened, nobody can beat him. And they were looking for the Great White Hope. That's when it started. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm notorious for interrupting people. I'm out of my fucking mind. So go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I try to teach my nephew about, and I even show him, like, how, because look, man, like, my grandparents, they got arrested back. I don't know if it was the 50s or 60s, but they got arrested because their neighbor was a white lady and she dated a black guy. And they have pigeons, and I have them here somewhere. I'm going to actually find them because we're moving. So, like, I'll be going through all my shit when I find them. But they have pictures of, like, they were burning crosses in her yard and shit. And,
that's horrible.
They, the black guy that was dating the neighbor lady, he was a strong dude. Like, man, I'm not wrong. Like, fuck them. They want to kill me. They want to throw me in jail. Fuck them.
And there was, like, some big sit-in and, like, a bunch of, you know, unrest in our area over that shit. And my grandparents got arrested for it. And when I was a little kid, my grandma showed me this movie. And I ended up seeing a movie just like it years later, but it was called something else. But whenever I watched it, it was called A Father for Charlie. And it was about, like, this black guy who, like, saved this little boy. There was, like, a car accident or something. And the little boy was trapped in the car, and his parents were dead. He was a little white boy, and the black guy saved them, and he was raising them. And, you know, the Klan, and, like, came and shit, and they fucking, like, whipped him and shit. Like, you know, it was some ugly shit. And I watched that movie when I was a little kid, and it, like, for real, like, that movie, like, made me never even think a racist thought. You know what I mean? Because I was showed that evil so young, and I knew it was wrong. Like, I remember the first time I heard the N-word, I didn't even know what it meant yet, but I just knew it was wrong. Like, I just heard it, and I'm like, that's a bad word. Like, I know I don't like that word. And then I found out what it was. But, like, my grandparents, like, talked a lot about, like, you know, like, Reuben Hurricane Carter, Arthur Ashe, you know what I mean? Of course, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jim Brown and Ollie, Jackie Robinson. Like, they taught me all that stuff, you know what I mean? And I'm doing the same with my nephew. And what's cool is the first thing he ever watched about Muhammad Ali was the one me and you were talking about, the ESPN documentary about Ali and Larry Holmes. And it's a cool documentary, man, because, like, you know, Holmes, like, was fucking Ali up, and, like, he kept looking at the ref, like, come on, man, call the fucking fight. Like, they weren't calling, you know what I mean? And then after the fight, Holmes was crying, and they asked him why he was crying. He's like, man, I love Muhammad Ali. Like, why'd they make me do that? Like, he felt awful. And then he told the story, like, he went and saw Ali. Ali was all laid up, and he, like, went and hugged him and talked to him and stuff. And then when he was going to leave, Ali's like, I will return. I want home. You know what I mean? Like, still talking shit. Like, but, like, as soon as he saw that, he started laughing. I was like, that's the type of dude Muhammad Ali was. Like, a serious, strong motherfucker. Like, he'll die for his. But he's not, like, the nicest guy, the funniest guy. I mean, look how much footage there is of Muhammad Ali with children. Just doing fun little goofy shit, like card tricks and shit. You know what I mean? And he's a great person, man. Like, I love Muhammad Ali. Like, you know, I like Malcolm X and, you know, Marcus Garvey and Bunchy Carter. Like, I learned about a lot of those people, man. And I respect them. You know what I mean? Like, I try not to talk. You know, people are oversensitive about stuff, and on the internet, it's sometimes it's hard to get, like, your point across, like, when you say certain stuff, man. But I think that's part of how things can get better, understanding things. You know what I mean? You can't just look at what they tell you and accept it. You got to understand it. And I think that's very important. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like, in my area, the first time people saw a Muslim was 9/11. That was the first image. You know what I mean? But now, when there's Muslims around, it's automatically awkward. You know what I mean? Like, I work for Pakistani Muslims, and we talk about it all the time. Like, when they first came here, I was real cool with them because I know what type of town I live in. that we talk about all the time. And he said, man, people are either, like, nervous, they're trying to be friendly but cautious, or they're, like, overdoing it to let them know that they're okay with them, or they're just straight-up ignorant as hell towards them. You know what I mean? And I told him, like, man, that's why. Because the first image they had in their head was 9/11. You know what I mean? And there wasn't anything, you know, like the president saying, like, oh, this isn't about all Muslims, it's just these guys. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't help that bad image that was put in their head. Like, introduce people to real Muslims and show how peaceful they are, and show the Muslims that are getting blown up by the Muslims that are trying to blow us up. Like, nobody hates those terrorists more than Muslims do. You know what I mean? Like, the guy I work for had to move to the other side of the fucking world to get away from that shit. And we're talking about we hate them. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Like, America is notorious for ignorance and hatred and bigotry, and it's been its conception until now.
Real quick, I wanted to get this in tonight, Chris. I want to shout out one of my favorite rappers, Terminology. I don't know if you peeped my wall today. I shared a couple of his posts. He got a movement. His name's like, I shared his post. It's like, his name's like Daniel something with a C, like Cario or something like that. But he has a movement called the Good Dad Gang. Like, if you look in hip-hop nowadays, you see all different kinds of something gang. Like, you know, the Get Money Gang and, you see, the Murder Gang and all that shit. Like, you know what I mean? Well, his is Good Dad Gang. And, Saigon participates in it sometimes. But it's terminology thing. But he just promotes being a good father. And he'll post stuff that he does with his daughter, stuff that he teaches his daughter, you know, just doing good things for that. Well, he was out in, I believe it was, I want to say it was Massachusetts because that's where he's from, but for some reason I'm thinking Jersey. Well, anyway, that's besides the fact. He went and did like a school, gave away a bunch of school supplies today, man. A bunch of T-shirts, book bags, all kinds of shit. You know, and I just want to show him love for that, man, because Tom's a good dude, and he's a hell of a rapper. And he got a nice little following, but he uses that to promote stuff that matters.
Stuff like that.
And, like the stuff that he does with his daughter, man, he has a radio show, too, on Shade 4-5. And he brought his daughter up there the other day, and she sat in and co-hosted with him. He did a great job. You know what I mean? And that's the type of stuff Terminology does, though, man. Like, he tries to promote being a good father, because in hip-hop, you see most of these rappers post? Because they're either talking shit, or they're posting their new Rolex or their new car, or them throwing money at a stripper. You know what I mean? But people like Term and like Saigon. Like, I remember last week, man, Saigon went live on Instagram, and he was sitting there. Him and his daughter were teaching his youngest son math problems and helping him with his homework. Like, that's the type of stuff they do. You know what I mean? And I think that gets overlooked too much. And those guys really give hip-hop a good name. But I just wanted to show Terminology love for that, man, because this isn't the first time he's done it. But he did it today. And so everybody check that out, though. If you go on Instagram or Facebook and just search like hashtag Good Dad Gang, you'll find it and like look into it.
see what he does, man. But he does that stuff all over, man. He not only helps his own kid, but he helps other kids too. And you know, he has a picture today with a bunch of like T-shirts laid out that he was giving away to these kids, and book bags, and all kinds of stuff, man. And I just thought that was real cool of him. You know what I mean?
I'm glad that
we have someone like that in hip hop. You know what I mean? Because a lot of these guys give hip hop a bad name, but that guy, you know, and there's a couple of them.
We look forward to having him on the show.
No, those guys care more about being good fathers. Like, you know, Terminology said one time, man, he's like, man, look at all these rappers in their songs. They always talk about how they're the best rappers in the game. Why don't any of these motherfuckers ever say I'm the best father in hip hop? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Man, take care of your kids, do good shit for your kids. Half these rappers are more infatuated with selling more records than the next guy, but they have a kid on the other side of the country that they don't even talk to. You know what I mean? That they don't even send money to or nothing. Like,
it's real shit.
He'd be the best real father shit. In hip hop. You know what I mean? So,
well, we look forward to having him on the show. I want to
took the time off to do that, man.
Because, like you said, it's rare. It's not being, you know, I think being a father is one of the greatest thing in the world, and you should be proud. It doesn't make you weak to display your love and affection for your children. If anything, it makes you a confident person and a caring person. So, shout out to Terminology. With that said, Pat, we're going to get out of here. You know, our thoughts go out to the people in Houston and Texas and all over Texas. You know, just, Waco. I hope everything's good with you, buddy. Everybody else we know over there, you know, Solo, you know, DJ Red, K Reno, of course. Matter of fact, we're gonna go into this K Reno song, Exposing the Motive, and we're gonna get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, Hip Hop Roundtable number 22 with Mac J. Hosted by Pittsburgh Pat, right here with me. You know what I'm saying? We're going to bring another hip-hop roundtable. And see you with DJ Paul on Wednesday. Never know what might happen Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday. So just keep fucking with us. UGSForLife.com. We're out of here.
That they doing what they doing, huh? You think everybody just be talking about it? It's all made up. It's all a lie. Life is real good. For seconds, minutes, and hours, decrepit feminine cowards, limited by the fear of the devil's primitive powers. Satan's syndicate vows to kill every remnant of ours. The dragon enters the house of the righteous, then it devours. Following what they teach and won't try to see what's the purpose. Cursing, addicted to the technology that you worship. Murdered for their works because they obviously deserve it. Lies and deceit and spiritual poverty in the churches. Taught you that you were scorned, systemic division harmed you. Brought you into the storm and enforces religion on you. Always knowing the truth, but changing that was the mission. Burning crosses and yards by claiming that they were Christians. Reversing what the truth is and gaming you with precision. The conquerors and dividers are blaming you for division. Democrat or Republican, how can you trust a liar? Court systems and government homicide justifiers. White supremacist desires are at the root of oppression. The deception of believing you'll fix it through an election. Lying connive is the only way to stay alive. 10% of the population ruling the 85. Everybody's slaves to electronic devices. No nutrients in food, what you get from it is lifeless. The trouble in Iraq, the U.S. wanted the crisis. That's why millions of dollars were spent and funded to ISIS. Historically shady, plotting against you daily. United States crazy, pimped by the Israelis. 60 years of payment that they be coming off gladly. America ain't nothing but Israel's sugar daddy. And Planned Parenthood got a lot of ghetto locations. Purpose of operation, decreasing our population. Abortions are promoted, our future children in danger. Created by a racist woman named Margaret Sanger. Drug companies gotta make sure you spend enough bread. How the hell are all these herbal healers ending up dead? Gotta keep all the money safe. circulating by all means. Anytime you see a CVS, you see a Walgreens. Prescriptions written by doctors, sickness is all around you. Initiated to legally kill you over the counter. War waging by the Food and Drug Administration. At 39, you own 5 different medications. The hood takes a rap for the real narcotic sellers. Elitist killers just go and study the Rockefellers. Many don't want to tell us. They design it and let it. They fearing the reproduction of black and brown genetics. Guns said to be legal, so to the people they're handed. But even when registered, if you black, it's a double standard. They left the weapons in back then, today they still do. Trick you to pack them so it's warranted when they kill you. And then we kill each other, your own brother will bust you. Playing into the hands of the one